You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's Thursday, January 4th, and welcome to Game of the Year week on Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every day this week I'm counting down my top 10 games of 2023, as well as highlighting some of the other great things that I've enjoyed throughout the year. I am so happy to have you here today because on this episode, we're getting close. I'm going to be picking my number 4 and number 3 games of the year. And to make sure you never miss an episode, go subscribe to the show, which is available on all major platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And you could also leave a review while you're there to help spread the word about the show. And if you'd like to chat about today's episode or just talk about games, you can find me on Threads and Facebook by searching for Midlife Side Quest. So every day this week, I'm opening the episode by sending out positive vibes to some of my favorite game developers of 2023, people who have created awesome and beautiful works of art for us to enjoy, and taking the time to thank them for all their hard work and dedication. And this week's positive vibes are going out to Insomniac Games. Insomniac is one of the most talented studios in the entire industry, creating amazing games like Spider-Man and Ratchet and Clank and the amazing Sunset Overdrive. They pretty much don't miss. So, in addition to sending them some vibes for being so great at what they do, I want to give them a shout out because they had a bit of a rough holiday. Now, I'm sure you know that they were hacked right before the holidays, and the group that did it tried to blackmail them into paying $2 million or they would release information about their upcoming games and lots more. Well, they didn't give in to the criminals, and so, yes, they released tons of information, including game development plans, business and financial information, as well as private personal information on their employees. And now this information is out there being shared among everyone, and it's just a terrible situation for them. So I want to send them positive vibes while they're going through this terrible situation, and I hope that they know that their true fans have their back. All right, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here, and we are over halfway through the top 10 games of 2023, so before we jump in today, let's recap where we're at so far. At number 10, we've got Final Fantasy 16. At number 9, Coral Island. Number 8 is Hi-Fi Rush. Number 7 goes to Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Marvel Spider-Man 2 is my number 6 game of the year. And finally, at number 5 is Starfield. Great list so far. And that brings us to number 4. And this is a game that I don't think I've seen crack a lot of top 10 lists online this year, which is a shame because it is an absolutely stellar game and the best installment in its series. And that would be Pikmin 4 from Nintendo. I've loved this series since the original came out in 2001, and this newest installment is the culmination of everything that the developers have learned over those 20 years and refined it into what is essentially a perfect Pikmin game. The basics are pretty much the same as they've been in previous games. You know, you need to explore a wild planet, plucking out Pikmin of various colors and abilities, and using them to defeat the aggressive creatures roaming the planet and find the gear and equipment you need to fix your spaceship and escape. And yeah, it's still that game, but they've gone and just fine-tuned every aspect of it. You've got new variations like the ice Pikmin, who can freeze enemies and water so you can walk on water, as well as the glow Pikmin, who appear in the brand new nighttime missions, which play out like a little tower defense game. They've also added Ochi, an adorable two-legged dog who can both mimic some of the Pikmin's abilities, like carrying stuff for you, as well as provide transport when you hop on his back. There's a new hub area where you'll find various survivors that you come across on the planet, and they'll give you certain objectives to complete. And there are the new Dandori battles, which have you gathering as many collectibles as you can in a set amount of time. And these are available in single player as well as multiplayer modes. There's a bonus campaign, a whole bonus campaign, co-op mode. There's just so much here, and it's all just wildly fun to play. Now, whether you're new to the series or you've been playing it for years, I think this is a perfect game for just about anybody to try. It's wild to me that Nintendo has bookended the Switch with two of the most amazing years full of great games. But they've knocked it out of the park again, and Pikmin 4 deserves to stand tall with all the other amazing releases this last year. And now we're at the top three. Oh, boy. I can honestly say that over the last couple of weeks when I've been thinking about this list and putting this list together, all three of these last games have sat at the number one spot in my brain at one point. They're all so incredibly good, and in any other year, each one of them would have been a shoo-in for number one. But, like I said, it's not any old year, and somebody's got to be first, and somebody has to be second, and somebody's got to be third, and my number three game of 2023 is Alan Wake 2. I love Remedy games, and I love Alan Wake. It was one of my favorite games on the Xbox 360 back in the day. And despite how great I thought it was, I never thought we'd get a sequel. It didn't really light the world on fire back then, critically or commercially, but it grew a devoted following in the years since, and I am so glad it did, because this game is fantastic. It's brilliant and creative and risky in ways that big budget games just don't do these days. It picks up 13 years after the original game, you know, exactly how much time has passed since the first game came out. And it starts off with players taking control of FBI agent Saga Anderson, who is traveling to the town of Bright Falls to investigate a series of grisly murders. And she very quickly discovers that there are supernatural and occult connections to these killings, and that they involve Alan Wake, the famous writer who disappeared there over a decade ago. What follows is 20 hours of mind-bending and terrifying action that will have you switching back and forth between Saga and Alan as they try and solve the mystery of the dark presence and try and keep it from corrupting the entire world. This game feels like the culmination of everything Remedy has tried and experimented with over the years, including changes in perception and a shifting world, live action sequences that bleed brilliantly into the gameplay, and yes, there's even a musical number. And the way that the developers play with light and dark and shadow, it kept me on the edge of my seat the whole time. They create this intimidating sense of dread that had me feeling like at any moment the shadows that were being cast by the flickering streetlight could just reach out and grab me, or that the dark forest can contain any number of unknown horrors. I don't know if I've ever played a game that just made me feel as uneasy as this one did. It is something else. And it's not that this is a perfect game. It's got, you know, it's got flaws for sure. The segments where you go into the mind place, you know, and piece together clues to the mystery, they don't quite feel very fleshed out and are a little unsatisfying. And some people might take issue with the fact that the combat is pretty much the same as it was 13 years ago. But I would rather a developer take some really big chances and occasionally miss than just play it safe all the time. Because the parts of Alan Wake 2 that do work well, when they hit it, man, it is outstanding. And it is absolutely some of the best gaming of the year. Each episode this week, I'm going to end the show by talking about some of my favorite things of 2023, things other than video games. And this week, I want to talk about my favorite movie of the year. So, full disclosure, I really didn't see a whole lot of movies this year. You know, I think it was a combination of the fact that I don't really much care for going to the theater anymore. And honestly, it was such a great year for video games that when I found myself with a spare couple of hours, that's usually what I was doing. But I did see some games. The Marvels was fantastic. Barbie was great. And the new Ninja Turtles movie was the best animated film of the year. Sorry, Spider-Man. But for my money, my favorite movie of 2023 was Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Now, I know this movie wasn't the biggest hit critically or at the box office, but I think they absolutely nailed it. It was a sweet and exciting and funny finale to the character that had all of the things that you want out of an indie movie. It has a cool, mysterious artifact that everybody's hunting for. Evil Nazis to get punched in the face. Great action sequences. And a fun cast of characters to go along with Indy on the adventure. Now, yeah, there are some iffy special effects, mostly in the first act. But besides that, I couldn't have asked for much more out of this movie. Indiana Jones is one of my favorite characters of all time and one that I've grown up with my whole life. And if they were going to go back to the well one last time, I am glad that they did it right and gave the character the goodbye that he and we deserved. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I so appreciate you making time in your day for me. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the last day of Game of the Year coverage and my picks for the number 2 and number 1 game of 2023. And you can find the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. And if you'd like to chat, look for me on Threads or Facebook. So until tomorrow, be well and happy gaming.